Good morning and welcome to Dr. Ng's Sunday Soul Connection. As always, we begin our time together with Naturally 7 and Let It Be.
Lord, I pray for this day we've come together, that our hearts and our minds reflect you.
As always, I applaud you for taking the next 45 minutes or so out of your busy Sunday to join with me and others across the airwaves as we consciously seek to deepen down, to commune with the ground of being, the source of all that is, the infinite intelligence of life that we call God. And so, my beloved, my theme this morning is new chapters. I was having a conversation with a dear friend last week, and she was sharing with me what she was doing. And I said, wow, you're embarking upon a new chapter. How wonderful. And we talked and laughed and joked some more. And it struck me, and I said to her, I'm going to create next Sunday's soul on this theme. Because I feel it's important that we recognize every single one of us that any time is a good time to write a new chapter for ourselves. I believe that too often we stay in the same old story, the same old narrative, because it's familiar, and we like familiar, let's face it. Writing a new chapter requires us to step forth again into the unknown and into the uncertain. But like all good stories, we need to be open up to all that's going to perhaps appear. And when I looked up what makes a good story, they say there's kind of seven basic plot types that are good. Overcoming the monster, rags to riches, voyage and return, comedy, tragedy, rebirth, and the person versus a higher power. And as I thought about that, I thought how true that is for our own life's story, which each and every one of us is the author and the editor of. God is the publisher. And God will publish whatever we are writing or editing for ourselves. Now, many of us are oftentimes writing the story of our lives unconsciously. And by that I mean we're allowing whatever thoughts, ideas that keep the ego just constantly in its chatter that's nonstop, that we're not aware of. That's the story we're writing for ourselves, which could be one of fear, one of doubt, one of insecurity, one of fill in the blanks. We are always unconsciously writing our story if we don't consciously rewrite and edit it ourselves. And by that I mean, if we are not conscious of the thoughts and the beliefs and the feelings we are holding about ourselves, and let's be honest, they're all running as a continuous loop in the background. If we're not consciously pausing, editing, rewriting, then the publisher of life, God, is simply manifesting and bringing forth into our experience that which we are writing, albeit unconscious. Beloved, it's a good time, as any time and any moment is, to write a new chapter for yourself. Education has nothing to do with it. Age has nothing to do with it. And all the other excuses we want to bring forth. Any time is a good time to write a new chapter. I love the quote that I shared yesterday for the notification for today, and it said simply, I look at life as an adventure. Each new chapter brings new opportunities. If we are not writing new chapters for ourselves, we will never know just how incredible we truly are. And by that I mean, and I'm not talking from an egotistical point of view, if we don't write new chapters, the opportunity to recognize how we could actually achieve something that we never before achieved, how we can realize, oh my God, I actually could do this. Our ego keeps us trapped in the known and the familiar because it's safe. And always, I'm reminding you, our ego is not a bad thing. It just knows and wants to keep us comfortable with what's familiar to it. It's our protective mechanism. But if we don't recognize when it's holding us back and holding us down, we will live a life that's less than what we were created to live. Our lives isn't meant to be arduous and hard and we reach the end of it and we die. No. This life, and that the Quran says that we should die before we die, meaning that we should die to all the things that are limiting, that are debilitating, that are stopping us expressing the true life we are meant to live. We're not here just to get by. We're here to give expression to the divine life that is God in us, as us, through us. We are here to express the fullness and the allness of the creative power that is right where we are. Tony Kushner says, at every moment in every person's life, there is work to be done. Always work to be done. Some of it small, some of it great. The great work, in a sense, always has to do with healing the world, changing the world, and as necessary, prededicate to that. Understanding the world. You rise every morning aware that you are called to this work. You won't live to see it finished, but if you can't hear it calling, you aren't listening hard enough. It's always calling, sometimes in a big voice, sometimes in a quiet voice. As I often remind you, we're not here to be the next Mother Teresa or Gandhi, but we are here to be the next version of ourselves. And that next version can only arise when we decide to write that chapter. When we decide to step away from the limiting thoughts, ideas, and beliefs that we may hold, that society tells us, or that we have falsely, erroneously believed. We are not here to just simply crawl through life and get to the other end of it, sigh, and then breathe our last breath. We are here to express in our own unique way, in our own unique expression, the divine which resides within us. I believe that as we do that, we are healing the world. We are bringing forth God. And if we're bringing forth God, we'll be bringing forth love. And love heals. So my beloved, the invitation this morning, it's about time we write a new chapter. I recognize for myself, as I'm beginning a new chapter for my life, that I needed to do a detox. It's so funny, and I laugh to myself, how we all know, and I mean all of us, we know that there are certain things we need to do, but yet we either forget or we lose sight of placing the importance and the prioritizing and making it relevant. I know that I needed to do a liver detox, and I've been planning for the whole year, and you would think with being furloughed and everything else that I would have had plenty of time. But instead, I made excuses. But our bodies have its own divine intelligence, and it will, when we don't pay attention to it, make us do what we have to do. And so having procrastinated for so long, my body made sure that finally I paid attention and listened to it. And your liver is what cleans all the blood. It also has the gallbladder within it, and that secretes the bile, which helps digest your food. And when last week I couldn't actually digest my food, I knew my body was saying, it's time. And then I remembered, because I'd forgotten, why it was so keen and so important to detox my liver. Because in Chinese medicine, they always say that each organ stores a particular emotion. So kidneys store fear, your stomach holds stress and anxiety, your lungs hold sadness, your heart holds joy, and your liver holds anger. And I'd been angry for so long. I was angry over COVID. I was angry over Black Lives Matter. I was angry about the state of the world. I was angry over the state women are treated across the globe. I was angry. Personally, professionally, societally, in every which way, I was angry. And I always stay on on our Sunday soul, that we're not here to bypass our emotions. We're here to look at them. And if we don't look at them, they get buried in our shadow, and that will then create more problems. And this anger I hadn't even been conscious of just how angry I was at the state of our world and the politicians and everything that was going on until last week, when I couldn't digest it or take it anymore. And I knew that in order to go forward in my next chapter, it was time to heal that. Time to do a detox, mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, to recognize where I'd invested my energy in, and to start the healing. When we're about to embark upon a new chapter, there's always going to be a letting go. There has to be an overcoming. There needs to be a facing of our monsters, the fears, the things that cause us pain. We go from the rags to riches because we are going from the poverty consciousness to the recognition of our true divine nature. And it is a journey to ourself, our higher self, our true self, our God self. And with it, there are both the joys and the sadness, both the ups and the downs. But you will have a rebirth in consciousness, a renewal, a resurrection of the Christ awareness, the Christ in you, through which you can do all things. And you move from person versus the higher power to recognizing it's not you with a God somewhere else, but you and God that will do the work. We all have the basic plot types, as I've just shown you, within our stories. But it's up to us to write it. And thinking about writing it is not the same as writing it. We can have all manner of ideas swirling around our head, but until we put pen to paper, nothing happens. Nothing materializes. And so they stay like castles up in the sky with no foundation, with nothing to which to build upon. My sacred text is from Genesis 17, verses 1, 5, and 15. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. No longer will you be called Abraham. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. God also said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you will no longer call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. Now, if you remember the story of Abraham, so this is 99 years old when God's announcing to him to this. And there's a couple of things I want to share about you, and always I like to look at the deeper meaning behind the story. Firstly, God changes his name from Abram, A-B-R-A-M, to Abraham. And Abram just meant a faith. But when it became Abraham, it kind of represented an expansion and an enlarging of that faith. Now Sarai, his wife, her name meant bitter, contentious, argumentative. And she was bitter that she was her old, she didn't have a child, she wasn't able to give him a son, and that their slave, their handservant Hagar, had borne him a child. So she was bitter, angry, and resentful. The name then became Sarah, which meant noble woman, gracious lady. So there's a couple of things that I want to share first, and just that point. There are things that we need to change how we name and call ourselves. When we're calling ourselves stupid, when we're calling ourselves incompetent, when we're calling ourselves whatever it is, we need to know that the names that we are calling ourselves are impacting how we are going to create our story. The names that we are falsely, erroneously believing about ourselves will limit what we are able to accomplish. Because if we remember God is the publisher of our life, and God will only publish for you what you are writing and believing about yourself, then you know that if you are saying these things, if this is what you are naming yourself, then God can only do according to your belief. The second thing I want to point out about the story of Abraham. Abraham was 99 years old when God's announcing this to him. Now, prior to that, God had already announced, I mean, he was in his late 80s or early 90s, that he had to leave where he was living and go to this promised land where he and his descendants were going to inherit. Now, who would write in their right minds would want to pick up and start anew in their late 80s or early 90s? To trust God to do what God said God would do, which is to give them a wonderful land of milk and honey. Many of us would say we're too old, we don't have the energy, we haven't got the strength, it's too late, blah, blah, blah. But here's the thing. God in us, as us, doesn't know age. It simply knows our energy and our faith. And that is the blueprint with which God uses to publish for our lives what we are seeing and believing in our consciousness. If God is saying to a 99-year-old man, you are going to have a child, and Sarah then that time would be in her late 80s, we know that there is nothing too hard for God to do. And I always love the story when the angels are passing. There's three angels that are passing by Abraham's tent, and he stops them, and they say, this time next year you will bear a son. And Sarah's listening, and she's laughing, because she's thinking to herself, really? When are we having relationships for me to bear a son at this late age in my life? And the angels know what she's doing and call her on it, and she denies it. And they said, but you did laugh. Is there anything too hard for God to do? And that, my beloved, is the story why I so love about Abraham and Sarah. The remembrance that there is nothing too hard for God to do, and what God says, God will deliver. And it doesn't matter how old we are, it doesn't matter what the circumstances are. It's never too late for us to write a new chapter or begin a new chapter in our lives. If we remember that we are in eternity, that Spirit is always doing something new, and it doesn't matter where we are, what we have in our life, God can always do more and better if we are able to write and conceive and believe. So my invitation to you is to, are you ready to write a new chapter? So my story this morning says it was a series of tragedies that sent Andy Puddicum's life onto a completely different path. When he was 22, Andy was standing outside a London pub when a drunk driver plowed into a group of his friends, killing two of them. A few months later, his stepsister died in a cycling accident, and then an ex-girlfriend passed away during surgery. Andy was doing a sports science degree at the time, but amid the grief, he dropped out. Seeking a complete life change, he decided to travel to the Himalayas to train as a Buddhist monk. He ended up spending the next 10 years as a monk, which took him all over Asia, and involved him meditating for up to 16 hours a day. He says that meditation helped him come to terms with everything. It gave me a shift in perspective. It taught me to focus less on myself and instead bring greater happiness to others. Andy, who's now 46, he says his friends and family were a little shocked and worried. None of them really knew what to make of it. But despite this, they were incredibly supportive and encouraging. In 2005, Andy returned to the UK to set up a meditation business. But it still wasn't a widely appreciated practice in his home country at the time. Some people were put off by the language behind meditation or saw it as a bit of a hippie thing to do, he says. It was quite inaccessible. People didn't have time for it or know how to do it. Setting up his own small private practice in London, Andy taught burnt-out professionals how to use meditation to help them in their daily lives. Back in 2005, Richard was one of the struggling professionals who booked an appointment with Andy. After university, Richard had gone into the advertising industry in London, and he had risen quickly through the ranks, but it had taken its toll. After the first session, it highlighted how many thoughts I had in my head and just how manic my life was. I found it exciting that there was a pathway. Once Richard realized how much he had benefited from the meditation, he decided that he wanted to go into business with Andy to help spread the word. Today, he and his co-founder, Richard Pearson, 38, run the popular meditation app Headspace, which has been downloaded more than 54 million times around the world and has annual revenues said to be more than $100 million or 82 million pounds. You see, what I loved about that story was that both Andy and Richard recognize you're never too old or too late to write a new chapter, to begin again, to do something new, to do something differently. Any time is a good time to write a new chapter for ourselves, for our lives. Alan Cohen says, do not wait until conditions are perfect to begin. Beginning makes the conditions perfect. My poem is entitled The Next Chapter by Robert Longley. Where you find your courage is largely up to you. Many paths and choices for things that you can do. Choose a path with purpose you feel within your heart. God will guide you forward once your direction starts. There is no one right answer. Do what you feel is right. Pick the path that suits you and lets you sleep at night. Prepare now for your journey. Your obstacles await. It is you who writes your story and you who controls your fate. My science of mind reading is entitled Life Insurance. The first quote comes from Nelson Mandela, who says, I never lose. I either win or learn. The second quote comes from Ernest Holmes, Think Your Troubles Away. In the last analysis, one must convince themselves that they are in league with the only power there is. The author writes, you win some, you learn some, you grow some, but you do not lose some. This wisdom is shared by many teachers. It corrects the assumption of the adage that there is only winning and losing. It suggests that behind the illusion of losing is simply redirection. Life is perpetually giving in nature, and the intelligence within all of life reroutes us in seemingly unplanned ways. Ernest Holmes shares, whatever I should know, I will know. Whatever I should do, I will do. Whatever belongs to me must come to me. And because of this infinite intelligence that is mine and that is within me now, I am compelled to recognize my God, to see more, to understand and accept and express more. This is the ultimate life insurance policy. How calming to regularly return to the truth that we are winning, learning, and growing into a fuller state of being. How would accepting this life insurance affect the quality of her existence? Perhaps for starters, we would see that the person we long to be, we already are. The person we long to be already exists. Free from the fear of losing and failure, we could boldly step forward, moving through the jagged rocks of mystery, through the pathway lined with those who made hailstones at our daring. We could accelerate reclaiming more of our infinite potential and spend less energy on doubting ourselves. By claiming Holmes' words that whatever belongs to each of us must come to us, we dissolve the weight of doubt and ease the burden of fear. Excuse me. I love that line. That if we could reclaim and accelerate our infinite potential and spend less energy on doubting ourselves, imagine what we could achieve. Imagine what we could accomplish. When we know what is rightfully ours, we cannot lose. That is something I have lived by. What's for me will come to me. And if it doesn't, that means it's not for me. And I bless wherever it is that it goes to. I am never going to be angry. I'm never going to be resentful. I am never going to be envious of what somebody else has, because that's for them. What's rightfully for me knows me and will come to me. Imagine if we could invest in remembering the infinite potential that resides at the core of our being, at the center of us. How that can eliminate the fears, the doubts, the insecurities, and all that stress us. All that stops us from writing our next chapter. Or all that stops us from being open to writing our next chapter. My beloveds, there is with you the divine essence of life that wants nothing more than to express and experience itself as you, through you. It is an intelligence, it is an energy, it is a life force that can only operate according to your faith. And that faith is what you will use to create the next chapter for yourself. Knowing that is what is rightfully yours will come to you. Knowing that, like Abraham, you're never too old to do something new. Knowing, like Sarah, that with God, nothing is too hard. My friends, it is time we write the next chapter. To embrace all the plots that it's going to bring forth. Knowing that we are one with God and one with all that God is. If you haven't already, I invite you to close your eyes and bring your attention to your breath, the gentle inhalation and exhalation, the ebbing and the flow, the contraction and the expansion. I never tire of reminding you the words of Job, who said, "It is the Spirit of God that has made me. It is the breath of the Almighty that gives me life." As you breathe in, say to yourself, "This is my breath as I breathe in." And as you breathe out, "This is my breath as I breathe out." Inhale. "This is my breath as I breathe in." Exhale. "This is my breath as I breathe out." In. In, out, in, out, in, out, in, out,
Now as you breathe in, say to yourself, this is my breath as I breathe in deeper. And as you breathe out, this is my breath as I breathe out slower. Inhale, this is my breath as I breathe in deeper. Exhale, this is my breath as I breathe out slower. Now as you breathe in, say to yourself, this is my breath, I breathe in healing. And as you breathe out, this is my breath as I breathe out forgiveness. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in healing. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out forgiveness. Healing. Now as you breathe in, say to yourself, this is my breath. As I breathe in, I'm ready. And as you breathe out, say to yourself, this is my breath. As I create my next chapter. Inhale, I'm ready. Exhale, next chapter. I'm ready. Next chapter. I'm ready. receptor. I'm ready. Next chapter. I'm ready. Here in the sanctuary, in the cave of the heart, let us be intentional for ourselves for the week ahead. Let us see in our mind's eye that which we wish to be, do have, or experience, knowing that we are creating the blueprint through which the infinite intelligence will use to publish whatever we are writing for ourselves at this time. Always, as we are seeing the vision, as we are visualizing ourselves, we add the feeling component. What does it feel like, that which you are seeing in your mind's eye at this time? The mind doesn't differentiate between the real or the imagined. Take a deep breath in as we enter into our circle of prayer. As always, you're invited to include anything or anyone that's in need of prayer at this time. We know that God is the energy, the life force, the center, whose circumference is everywhere, whose center is everywhere and circumference is nowhere. We know that God is known by many names, but none can contain all that God is. Allah, Yahweh, Jehovah, Brahma, Durga, Shakti. God is beyond all the names and labels we choose to give. So we simply call Divine Beloved, ground of being, source of all that is, as we consciously come into your presence at this time, asking for us to be open to the guidance and direction for the new and next chapter for our lives. We know that you know what to do and how to do it, and that we are simply the vessels, the conduit through which your spirit works in and through. Let us surrender our doubts, our fears, our worries, our insecurities, our angst, trusting as Abraham did, that what you say you will do. And so let us leave the land of fear, of worry, of limitation, of doubt, and move into the conscious awareness of the abundance, of the health, of the wholeness, of all that we desire that is waiting for us as we write our next chapter. Let us remember, like Sarah, that there is nothing too hard for God to do. And when we move beyond the ego limitations of fear, of doubt, of insecurity, and trust in the ever-abiding faith that what God says God will do, and trust in your unseen, infinite guidance for our lives. for everything that is happening across our globe at this time. We're holding our hearts, the needs, the desires, the wants of everyone here on our prayer call, everyone in our friends and families, in our circles, in our community, in our country, and across the globe. We each have similar needs for food, for shelter, to feel safe, to feel freedom from violence, fear of insecurity, of food scarcity, and everything else that plagues our world. Let us come back to the remembrance that we are one kind, humankind, that we are one race, the human race, that we belong to each other, that you created a world of diversity, not to have one superior over another, but to see all as equal, all as expressions of your one life, your divine life, irrespective of our gender orientation, irrespective of our so-called religious beliefs, irrespective of race or color, culture, or tribe identification. We are all from you, divine beloved ground of being for all sentient beings on this planet. We offer prayers of love and peace. We give you glory, we give you praise, we give you thanks for your ever-abiding presence in our lives, for your infinite intelligence, your eternal mercies, your ever and abundant grace in our lives. We are ever, ever grateful. And so it is. And so it is. And so it is. Take a deep breath in as we do our movement prayer this morning. Stretch your hands towards the sky, wriggle your fingers and affirm, I open myself to the oneness of all of life. Cross your hands, palms down over your heart and affirm, I radiate love to all who I meet. Bring your hands as if in prayer in front of your lips and affirm, I speak only words that affirm the quality of life I want. Drop your hands to your sides, palms open, facing outwards and firm. I'm continuously grateful for all of my blessings, seen and unseen. Bend your elbows and make small circles with your wrists and affirm. I let go of any real or perceived shortcomings I may have. Take a deep breath in as I unmute the phones for our morning's affirmations and Buddhist meditations. Our affirmation from our science of mind reading, repeat after me. I am fully insured.
I am fully insured.
In this thing called life.
In this thing called life.
My benefit is love.
My benefit is love.
Our Buddhist meditations. If anyone has hurt or harmed me.
If anyone has hurt or harmed me.
Knowingly or unknowingly.
knowingly or unknowingly.
In thought, word or deed.
In thought, word or deed.
I freely forgive them, and I ask forgiveness.
I freely forgive them, and I ask forgiveness.
If I have hurt or harmed anyone,
if I have hurt or harmed anyone,
knowingly or unknowingly, in thought, word or deed,
knowingly or unknowingly, in thought, word or deed,
I forgive the past and close the door.
I forgive the past and close the door.
I forgive all and resentment is dissolved.
I forgive all and resentment is dissolved.
I forgive myself and I am at peace.
I forgive myself and I am at peace.
I accept myself and I am free.
I accept myself and I am free.
May I feel protected and safe.
May I feel protected and safe.
contented and at peace.
Contented and at peace.
May my physical provide me with strength.
May my physical body provide me with strength.
May my life unfold smoothly and with ease.
May my life unfold smoothly and with ease.
May I be happy.
May I be happy.
May I be peaceful.
May I be peaceful.
May I be free.
May I be free.
May my friends be happy.
May my friends be happy.
May they be peaceful.
May they be peaceful. May they be free.
May they be free.
May those that challenge me be happy.
May those that challenge me be happy.
May they be peaceful.
May they be peaceful.
May they be free.
May they be free.
May all beings be happy.
May all beings be happy.
May they be peaceful.
May they be peaceful.
May they be free.
May they be free.
Now our prayer of intention. I am the light of God within and without.
I am the light of God within and without.
Radiating brightly. I am the love of God within and without.
I am the love of God within and without.
Expressing unconditionally. I am the power of God within and without.
I am the power of God within and without.
Manifesting exuberantly. I am the presence of God within and without.
I am the presence of God within and without.
Eternal and unceasingly. Our rumination, our roomy thought for the week, excuse me, we have an enemy within called the ego, who prevents us from using our mind intelligently. It hides deep within our heart and emerges with regularity to challenge and consume our will. Just to remind you, we'll have our midweek prayer, our 10 at 10, our 10 minutes prayer and meditation on Thursday as usual. And my closing benediction. May the road rise to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face and rain fall soft upon your fields. Until we meet again, may God hold you in the hollow of his hand. So my closing song is my favorite for the week. Some wonderful lyrics in there. Listen and enjoy Unspoken, and the song is entitled Already Won.
Thank you. There's a lot of speculation from all the haters up ahead and talking, no, you ain't gonna make it, but ha, you already made it. Roll out the red carpet and let the party get started. Hear that round of applause, yeah, and play your song. You know it's about time to start living life. There's no nothing high and low that you can't move. No rally low enough to hold you down. You're a fighter, got that fire deep inside you. You can't lose, you already won. You already won. Everybody at the job, thought you were down for the count. But you get up like a champion, check it. That's who you always been. Cause you're a child in the most high. Royalty in your bloodline. And you know it's about time to start living like living life. There's no mountain high enough that you can't move. No valley low enough to hold you down. You're a fire.
Trust you enjoyed it as much as I did. That's Unspoken and Already Won. I wish you a very blessed and happy Sunday and a beautiful week. And I look forward to joining you again on Thursday for our midweek prayer and Sunday for Sunday Soul Connection. Peace and blessings.
Thank you.